Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Romans 8, 29 and 30. Tonight we're looking at the role of predestination. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as always, it's a blessing to be in your house and to be together where we can come together and look into your word. And Father, I pray that be with each one of us, that you'd speak to each one personally. I pray, Father, tonight that those who couldn't make it, that you would restore them and they'd be back with us again soon. And I pray, Father, for your hand to be upon their lives. I pray, Father, that you would guide us and direct us now in your truths of your word. I pray, as always, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word. We'd take it out and share it with a lost and dying world so they too could have the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ, that wonderful, wonderful, intimate relationship that we have with him. And I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up and glorified in all that's said and done, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll take your Bibles and turn now to Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 5 and 6. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6, saying, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And then drop down to verses 11 and 12 of that same chapter. Says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. These are the only passages of Scripture that mention the terms predestinate or predestinated. The explanation here, the word means to mark out beforehand or to determine or declare a boundary. Our English word, horizon, comes from this word as it marks out or declares the boundary between earth and sky. God has marked out beforehand, predetermined, and declared all that will occur in the carrying out of his plan of salvation. Predestination does not rob man of free will or responsibility, nor does it make God the author of sin. I've heard that so many times. Well, God's responsible for sin. No, he's not. That's on man. We chose that. God does not force us to sin. We choose it. It's our will that chooses that. Then the events that are predetermined by God, God predetermined that Christ would die for sin. You look at Luke 22, verse 22. Luke 22:22, it says, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. God predetermined the placement of nations so that they might be brought into contact with the gospel at the times when they were most responsive. I find it interesting when people have said there's countries that were totally anti-gospel, and God has sent men into those countries, and now they're saying they're receptive, they're open. God has worked it out so that the more that are going into those countries, the more receptive they're becoming, and the more people are coming to know Christ through it. I think of Ukraine as one. Before the war, there were people getting saved. Since the war, there are more people getting saved. People say, but the war is a bad thing. The war is causing people to turn to Christ. So there is some good coming out of it. Yes, it's bad in the fact that some people are dying. Some people are dying that never made a profession of faith in Christ. But there are many more people coming to know Christ. So that's the good side of it. Obviously, we don't want anyone to perish. That's God's desire. But as the gospel was there and they weren't turning to Christ, now they are. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so I like the fact that he's done that and he's made it so that these countries, these places are being brought into contact with the gospel at a time that they're receptive and they're actually turning to Christ. So look at Acts 17. We're going to look at 26 and 27. Acts 17, 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he not be far from every one of us. Then God has also predetermined that all the saved will be conformed to the image of Christ, as we read Romans 8, 29 and 30. And then if you'll turn to Ephesians again, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. God has predetermined that the saved will all be gathered as one in Christ and will receive their inheritance as joint heirs with Christ in heaven. And as I've said over and over and over, it doesn't matter if you are Independent Baptist or not, if you're saved, if you're truly saved, we will all be gathered as one in Christ. And I know that that upsets a lot of our fellow brethren out there when I say that. Some of them, they get so irritated because if you're not Independent Baptist, you're not going to heaven. And that's not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. You can search it forward, backwards, upside down, whatever you want to do. It doesn't even talk about Independent Baptist in there. Now, we follow the Bible, and it has been historically that Independent Baptists follow this, the King James Version of the Bible for English-speaking people. But today, there's many Independent Baptists that have gone away from even the King James Version of the Bible. They're embracing things that Baptists historically have not embraced. It's unfortunate, and as I've said the other day about not being, not making apology for the fact that I'm anti-abortion, it used to be Baptists were anti-abortion. Now they're becoming pro-life. And some of them are actually gone so far as to be pro-abortion. It's not good. We need to not leave the things of the Bible and embrace the things of the world. And that's what we're seeing over and over and over. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 5 and reading through 11, says, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Excuse me. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in whom he also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Salvation and predestination. Predestination concerns the plan of salvation. Does the word predestinate mean that God specifically chose some for salvation? We must be careful not to read this meaning into biblical words. That's what so many people have come up with, and that's what we've been talking about, Calvinism. They believe, as a general rule, some of them are a little not as Calvinistic as others, but as a general rule, they believe that there's no sense in sending missionaries, there's no sense in going out door to door, there's no sense in even talking about the gospel with anyone, because those who have been predestinated are going to get saved, and those who haven't aren't. They leave out according to the foreknowledge of God. God knows who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. That's hard for us to comprehend because we have a hard enough time remembering what happened 5 minutes ago. God already knows what's happened all the way through eternity future. We can't grasp that so much because our finite minds can't figure out how that can happen. But he's God. He can do whatever he chooses. The word predestinate means God has a plan of salvation and extended it to everyone who would respond in faith. He has drawn a circle around the world because he loves all men. I think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's everyone. No one's excluded from that. He gave his only begotten son. I like the King James because the only begotten son means I can be a child of God. One year I was preaching and I knew there was some people that were using the NIV. And so I made a point to say, if you don't want to be a child of God, keep using your NIV. Because it says one and only son, which means there's only one, which means you can't be his child. But if you want to be his child, then move back to the King James Version, where it's his only begotten son, and then you can be adopted into the family of God. I got some interesting looks from that comment, but I've never said that I had much tact. I just believe what the Word of God says. And I still believe that things that are different cannot be the same. Therefore, they can't both be the Word of God. Then it goes on that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. Doesn't say whosoever God chooses can. It says whosoever. It's open to everybody. God does not limit people coming to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody's available to come. Then he died for all. In John 1:29, John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Notice he didn't say taketh away the sins of just those that God has predestinated because God chose them. to get saved. It doesn't say that. The sin of the world, that's everyone. Everyone who's ever been born, everyone who ever will be born, takes away all that sin. And he calls everyone to partake in that plan. There's nobody that hasn't been called to be a partaker of that plan. Therefore, predestinate deals primarily with what is God's plan, not the specific who. Predestination thus primarily deals generally with what will happen to all who believe, not specifically with which individuals will believe. Has nothing to do with which individuals, it means everybody. Everybody who comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is part of that predestination. We did it because we were given free will and we chose Christ. And God knew beforehand. In fact, the Bible says before the foundation of the world was laid, God made a plan to reconcile man to himself. I believe wholeheartedly that if Jesus Christ came, laid down his life, shed his blood, all that stuff, was buried and rose again, and only one person that ever lived got saved, he would have still done it. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I also believe that if every single person that ever got born, any child that was ever conceived even, every one of them, God has opened up the plan of salvation, and is wanting to have reconciliation with every single human being. I had somebody ask me one day about children, and I said we have three, technically. We have two that lived, but one that she lost by a miscarriage. I believe wholeheartedly at conception, that is a child that God gave. I believe wholeheartedly that child is in heaven. I believe at one point in time in life, we are going to heaven and we're going to meet that child. I don't care what everybody else believes, but I believe that. I believe I have a grandchild up there. I'm looking forward to meeting them too. God opened this for every single human being. And at the moment of conception, regardless of what the bozos out there say, that is a child, that is a human being. And it's open to every single one. And I still believe that when people ask the question, where are all the leaders in our country? I believe we aborted most of them. Predestination is a final outcome, the completed glorification and inheritance, and is thus a guarantee of the security of the eternal life in Christ. And predestination is based upon foreknowledge. God predestinates those he knows will respond to the call of salvation. We have seen that there are only two passages that specifically mention the term predestinate or predestinated. The first, Romans 8, 29 through 30, tells the basis of predestination, which is foreknowledge, and the content of predestination. We are predestined to glorification into the image of Christ. Starts out with, for whom he did foreknow. So what Calvinists want to do is forget God's foreknowledge. They want to say, well, God couldn't have known, so God had to have forced people to get saved. God has never, and there's no scripture that shows anywhere in here, that Jesus Christ came to earth and forced anyone to accept him as Lord and Savior. Not once. That's why I've said so many times, why do we think we have to force people into it? We don't. they have a choice, just like we had a choice. And we have to be willing to accept the fact that they made their choice. The second, in Ephesians 1, 4 through 12, tells the purpose of predestination. We are predestined to adoption as sons to bring glory to God and His grace in heaven. I often wonder, are we glorifying God with our lives? Every day people are watching us. Every day people are seeing what's going on. Are we glorifying God? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Those holding to the full Calvinist position make such of the mention of in Ephesians 1, 4 through 9 and and 9. That God's predestination is said to be according to the good pleasure of His will, based only upon the mystery of His will. They then define this as God's unconditional election concerning who will be saved. However, the good pleasure of His will is not defined by the passage as God's sovereign or arbitrary choice concerning which individuals would receive Christ. The good pleasure of His will is specifically said to be the praise of the glory of His grace. In Ephesians 1:6. Verses 5 and 9 do not describe predestination being based upon some unrevealed mystery and unknown purpose in the mind of God concerning who should be chosen. God states in verses 9 through 12 that He has revealed the exact nature of His purpose and pleasure. So let's look at those again. Ephesians 1, 9 through 12. Ephesians 1, 9 through 12, where He says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. The predestination according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will is not said by Scripture to concern electing who would be saved. It is instead described as the plan that those who trust Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Then the Bible doctrine of predestination is therefore that God, in eternity past, predestined those He foreknew would receive Christ to be glorified into the image of Christ and to be gathered as one in Christ and receive their inheritance in heaven as adopted joint heirs with Christ, all to the praise of the glory of God's grace for eternity. The divine decree, purpose, will, pleasure, counsel, and plan of God is to bring glory to Himself before all the principalities and powers in heavenly places, Ephesians 3:10, throughout the ages to come, Ephesians 2:7, by showing the manifold wisdom of God, Ephesians 3:10, and the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:7, which is demonstrated in reconciling all things unto Himself in Christ by grace through faith. God's plan is to reveal His glory by displaying believers as trophies of His grace in heaven for all eternity. This is why salvation must be all of grace, so that God and not man receives all the glory. I've said many times, if we had anything to do with salvation, we would be going around telling everybody how great we are. Salvation has nothing to do with us. All we did was accept the free gift. That's all we did. We had free will to choose or reject. We chose. Jesus did everything else. He paid it all. He worked it all out. And we are to be God's trophies that He can display. Sometimes I wonder, are we being good trophies? When people see us, do they see Christ? they should. I got two more quick verses and then we'll end. Ephesians chapter 2, 5 through 10. Ephesians 2, 5, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then the last one is Romans 4:2. And Romans 4, verse 2 says, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." All right, we'll move on to prayer requests.